right, good morning. Say hi, Neil. Okay, great. Pastor Tim's not around. He's in Jakarta doing his pastoral thing. And the great thing about Pastor Tim not around, we're going to end service earlier today. All right, but definitely going to feed you with the word of God. Talking about feeding, I'm sure you guys are not blind to see that there is a chopsticks on my head. Today is Chop Gourmet, so I'm making sure I am ready to pass by tables and take everyone's food and have my filling for the day. So another reason why I have chopsticks is because since I'm preaching, I better get that reception with God right now so I can preach the word mightily, all right? The other thing why I have chopsticks is you guys don't know about this, but Pastor Teresa, who preached last week, she hates it when she sees chopsticks on my head. So, Teresa, if you're watching in Indonesia, I just want to dedicate this look to you. I love you. Hope you guys come back soon. All right, here we go. Okay, we're in a series called Miracles. Forgive me if I sound a little bit different today. I may not be my usual self, mainly because I'm going under a flu, under the weather. But don't worry, it's not COVID. And so if you guys are wondering. But yeah, I may look a little bit drowsy and all this stuff, but the power of God is within me, so I can do all this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, all right? So, okay, here we go. So last week, I shared a similar message to what Pastor Teresa shared last week, which is walking in water. I personally asked Pastor Tim if I could actually preach that message, and he was like, no, you're preaching walking in water in cyber. You stick with the program. I was like, okay. So just like any good student, I followed my teacher. So today, I'll be sharing on healing the man born blind, all right? And I want to focus on four groups of people just based on this message who responded differently to the healing of what took place with the blind man, all right? And my anchoring scripture for this morning is on John chapter 9, where it says that as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? And he was born blind. Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Yeah, Papa, we commit this time into your hands. The God, as I speak, it'll be your words that's coming through my mouth. And I just pray that as powerful as your word says, I pray that it will penetrate the hearts and the mind of the people who are listening this morning. I pray that every good thing will be taken back so that God, they not be all-knowing, but God practicing, applying it daily in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. All right. Man, okay. Here we go. Okay, just to give you guys a little background, all right? So chapter 9 came after chapter 8, okay, which is pretty obvious, all right? 8 is before 9. Okay, but chapter 8 is one of the most intense chapters or stories that we will get when it comes to Jesus' ministry. Now, it is the same chapter in chapter 8, all right, where we get the story. In fact, this is where the famous verse, if you guys are familiar with the Bible, Jesus tells the Pharisees, let he who has no sin cast out or throw the first stone. Right? You guys remember that story? So for those who do not know, just to give you guys a little context, the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus. Okay, and how did they do that? They caught an adulterer. I don't know. They had a lot of time to actually look for an adulterer. They didn't just caught randomly an adulterer. They caught somebody who was in the midst of adultery. I don't know how they had so much time for that. So they took the adulterer in front of Jesus to trap him to see how would respond. And then Jesus says that line, which I just said, he who has no sin, cast out the first stone. Okay, and right there and then, one by one, starting from the eldest, dropped their stones and walked away. I love the story so much because what happens next is this. So everyone walks away and Jesus was the only one standing. He goes to the adulterer, the lady, and he was like, has anyone condemned you? And she looks up. She's like, no, no one's condemned me. And he looks at her saying, even I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's such a beautiful story. I can probably end the sermon with this only. All right, but here's the thing. If anyone was qualified to stone that girl, it would have been Jesus. But even Jesus, a man who is not sin, who is sinless, did not choose to stone her, did not choose to judge her, but decided to just show grace, show mercy, showed love. All right, so okay, I don't want to dwell so much on that, but that's such a beautiful story. It is the same chapter in which he was just firing the Pharisees. He was like, all of you are slaves to sins. Right? He even says that your father is the devil. Try using that line during your next argument. See what happens. Your father is the devil. Right? And the cherry on top is like when the Pharisees mentioned that we are children of Abraham. And Jesus was like, hey, you know Abraham? I'm paraphrasing over here. You know that guy Abraham who you guys talking about? I know him. In fact, he was looking forward for this day that I showed up. And then the Pharisees were like mocking him, saying like, huh? You're not even over 50 years old and you claim to know him? And Jesus just said this in chapter 8, towards the last part of the verse, chapter. He's like, before Abraham, I am. He just dropped the mic. And the Pharisees picked up the stone again, wanting to stone Jesus. But Jesus, being this Jedi master, slipped away from the Pharisees. And we pick it up on chapter 9, where it starts off saying, as he passed by. Meaning, chapter 9 didn't take place 2 days later. It takes place immediately after the incident in chapter 8. So he probably slipped by them, walked around the corner, turned left, and he sees the blind man. All right? Right there and then, Jesus and the disciples were given an opportunity. And like an opportunity just arose. All right? And let's see how they responded. So an opportunity popped up. The disciples saw an opportunity to ask a theological question. Jesus, on the other hand, Jesus saw an opportunity to display the works of the Father. Because as long as he's in the world, he is the light of the world. And he must do what the Father's will is. You guys remember that in the verse? So you see an opportunity and you see two different responses. Now, I'm not saying that the Pharisees' question is illegitimate. In fact, it is one of the most common questions at that time. All right? So you have to understand that the Jews have this certain belief or understanding that any human suffering stems from sin. All right? Whether it may be from the individual or the parents or the parents' parents. But what did Jesus say? It was none of those things. But it is so that God's works may be displayed. All right? Now, having said this, I'm not saying that God put it there. All right? That's just not God. All right? I don't believe that God inflicts pain so that he can show off. All right? We all know why sin exists in this world. Right? It was because of the disobedience of one man we are where we are today. Why is there death? Because of sin. Why is there suffering? Because of sin. Why are diseases, flus, and whatever not is popping up here and there is because of sin. And Jesus, instead of focusing on the why this, why that, he decides to shift the focus and tell him, no, don't focus on this. Let's focus on what God can do through this. And so, Jesus being Jesus was kind enough to answer them. saying that he's the light of the world and he must do the Father's will. But you can see the contrast in terms of how his disciples and Jesus responded. Jesus had compassion. The disciples had a question. The disciples were stuck with the obvious, with what's in front of them that they couldn't pass. They couldn't go over that, couldn't pass by that to see what could be done. They were stuck with what's obviously in front of them that they couldn't see what they can do for him. That's the first group of people, the disciples. They were stuck with the obvious, whereas Jesus was like, this is an opportunity to show who God is. In verse 6, he says, having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva. Let's pause here for a while. You know, if you guys were paying attention to the verse, the man never asked for healing. Right? He wasn't those guys who were sick and like went up to Jesus. He didn't even know whether Jesus was coming over where he's at. He probably just woke up that morning, sat down where he normally sits, expecting nothing that morning. And here comes Jesus, just passing by, takes notice of him. I want you guys to know that there may be something desirable, something that we have, a need that we even feel that we don't deserve, but God gives it to you anyway, simply because he's a good God. He knows your needs. So going back to this verse, all right? He's blind. I'm pretty sure his other four senses were pretty much heightened. I mean, he's blind, so I'm pretty sure he relied so much on his other senses. Am I right? So here comes Jesus, and he's listening. He's there begging, and suddenly he's listening to the conversation between Jesus and the disciples, and he knows he's talking about him, all right? And suddenly, after that conversation, what does Jesus do? He spits on the ground. He goes like this. I have a lot of flu right now. Just imagine. He probably ducked because he's hearing it. It's like, oh gosh, here we go again. You know, my kids, when we go to Pasamalam or Pasapagi, that is if they wake up early or so, all right? They will see beggars, okay, on the streets. And they'll become curious and they'll be asking questions. You know, and as parents, we have to be a little bit responsible to educate them, to help them understand why it happens to them and why certain people are like this. And it was a good opportunity also to practice giving, all right? But let me be honest. I can be pretty skeptical, all right? And I'm sure some of you guys or most of you guys in this room can be pretty skeptical as well. Because we've heard stories about syndicates and all that stuff. It's no different than what took place with this man during that time. Because beggars during that period were also despised. People thought of them in a certain way. But so happens this man who is blind had a combo. Not only was he a beggar, but he was also blind. Already he is despised, and already because of his situation, people have a certain perception of him. That's a double combo right there. So all his life, as what the scripture says, he was born blind. So all his life, he must have been getting along people's way. He must have been standing in front of people and people just pushing him around and spinning on him, telling like, you deserve what you deserve. He was having rejection day after day. All his life, being born blind. Next verse, then he anointed the man's eyes with mud. It said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Guys, if you guys were paying attention to this verse, he has no idea that Jesus was there until he heard a conversation. He never asked for healing. The moment Jesus spat on the ground, he thought that Jesus was just going to spit on him again. But he didn't. He hesitated. He's like, okay, where's the spit? He doesn't even know that he was going to get healed. All Jesus told him was, go and wash yourself at the pool of Siloam. He has no idea. I mean, obviously, if someone spits at you, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the toilet and just wash yourself off, right? So in the same way, he's going with that expectation. He's like, okay, I mean, that's what I'm going to do. He's walking to the pool of Siloam. He washes himself, he washes the spit away, and next thing you know, he sees. Why is that? Why do you think Jesus did that? You know, as I was doing research, there are a lot of theological background, or they kind of link it to some reason to why Jesus did all that. Right? I mean, if you think about it, Jesus could have just said a word. We've been in the series of miracles. We've heard stories about how Jesus have healed this and healed that. And some of them, he just had to speak. And next thing you know, people are getting healed. Why didn't he do that? Here's my thought. This man was rejected all his life. This man was spat on, pushed around, and I feel and I believe that the reason why Jesus did that, because he used what other people cursed him with and healed him. It's as if to say, my son, this is the last day you'll get spat on. Man, I love Jesus. If you love Jesus, tell your neighbor you love Jesus too. You know, I wish I could stop here, since this is pretty much my anchoring verse, and tell you guys, and the man lived happily ever after. But we all know what happens after that. If you guys follow the verses after that, I mean, things just gets worse, okay? It wasn't pleasant. Not everyone was happy. You know, more than the story of the restoration of a physical blindness, I believe the story is all about opening the eyes of the heart. That those who are blind with the things of God may see, and those who claim to see realize that they're actually blind. So like I said, I only talked about the first group of people who responded in such a way. The second group of people are the neighbors, okay? So the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is him. Others said, nah, but he is like him. And the man right there who's healed is like, I'm the man. I'm the man. This is me. I'm the one begging. All right? So they said to him, then how were your eyes open? He answered, well, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I never saw him before. I mean, somehow the neighbors were trying to find a way or were finding it hard to put two and two together. They were like, wait a minute, is this the guy? Didn't he beg in that corner? Wasn't he? No, I don't think it's him. No, it's him. No. And then the guy was like, no, it's me, it's me, it's me. And when they managed to put two and two together, they still questioned. It wasn't like they rejoiced or they celebrated, hallelujah. They were like, how did he get healed? They still ask questions. And one of the reasons I think, all right, people are like that is because the neighbors may have grown accustomed to seeing this man all their life blind. And so they cannot accept what's in front of them. You guys know Pastor Stephen? You guys don't know Pastor Stephen? Okay, you guys know Pastor Stephen? Okay. So here's the thing. Pastor Stephen, okay, if you guys see him at the door, he's the guy outside of the door, silver hair. I would say he's one of the most good-looking pastors that we have here in Every Nation Church. If you guys agree, give him a round of applause. Okay. Silver hair, all dressed up. Not like me. I'm like trying to make do with whatever I have here on stage. But he's all decked up. When he wears a mask, you can see his smile through the mask. That's how Pastor Stephen is. He is the poster child of Every Nation Church Malaysia. Okay? And then all of a sudden, we go to 99 Mart, and we see somebody who looks like him. Wearing shorts, wearing singlet, maybe a cap on the side. wearing slippers, and buying rice. Well, like, and then you're there in 99 Mart, you're like, wait a minute, no, it's not him. No, I don't think it's him. He's not smiling. Where is that smile? No, it's, I don't think it's him. No, it is him. No, it's like him. You get what I'm trying to say? We're so accustomed to seeing Pastor Stephen a certain way that we see him somewhere else, we're like, no, that's not him. He can't be. Where's that smile? He's not smiling. He's angry. Of course, because his car is double parked. Waiting. Don't want to get a summon. All right? You guys get what I'm trying to say? I remember a friend of mine earlier when I got saved. When my friend found out I got saved, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't wrap his head around it. And why? Because he was judging me based on what he saw. Understand, we've never seen each other because he went for vacation and stuff like that. So when he found out I was saved, he couldn't wrap his head around it because he was judging me based on what he had with me, his perception of me. I was like, no, that's impossible. Then when he came back, it's not like he was like, oh gosh, I believe that Jesus is real. No, no, no. He was still skeptical until a couple of days or weeks or months later, he then notices the changes in my life and then comes to a conclusion, yeah, Jesus is real. Because this man I knew, based on what I know him in the past, is no longer the same. Perception. Most of us are accustomed to certain things. Let me tell you that over-familiarity is a trap, and I pray that we don't get into, and that we become someone that is that we can see it from afar. You know, familiarity is a trap. Sorry, I'm just blah, blah. Now, just because our friends, our family, our co-workers are of a certain type, something that we are accustomed to, doesn't mean that they cannot be changed when they encounter God. Let's not judge people based on their past, but let's celebrate and anticipate for what is to come. Second group of people, that's the neighbors. First group, the disciples. Second group, the neighbors. Third group of people, the Pharisees. So you brought the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight and said to them, well, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. Notice his testimony is getting shorter. He's summarizing it for them. Mud on my eyes, I wash and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. I mean, think about it. Think about the logic and the conclusion that the Pharisees were getting into. It's like you can heal the man on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, but not on a Saturday. And because you heal him on a Saturday, you're not from God. Where's the logic in that? I don't get it. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. This man graduated from saying that Jesus, that the man called Jesus healed him to acknowledging that, okay, Jesus is a prophet. He is a prophet. But we all know that he's more than that. The Pharisees were more concerned about their laws and tradition being broken, that they failed to see the glory of God in front of them. They didn't care about the miracles. In fact, they hated Jesus. If you guys were paying attention on the summary of chapter 8, they didn't like Jesus. Anything that Jesus did or say, they would just outright reject it or cancel it. But when you think about it, the Pharisees, you know, get so much bad rep the further you read down the gospel. But when you think about it, we can be similar like them. Or we're kind of like them. You see, we like staying inside this box. Where in this box is our plans, our agendas, our SOPs. And as long as we're in the box, everything's okay and we're comfortable. We try to put God in the box. How many of you guys know that's a bad idea? Right? In my house, there's certain rules that I put for my kids. And every time they break a rule, I'll scold them. Now, scold is a strong word. I will tell them that they did something wrong. No, you can't do this. You can't do that. You see this? It says, do not cross the line. And then my wife will scold me, reminding me that my kids are just kids and they're not adults. I believe there are rules that exist to keep us safe. And I like rules. But if rules are going to blind us to the things that really matter, I won't be surprised if my kids if my kids stop talking to me. Worse, if my wife stops talking to me. That's the third group of people. The fourth group is the parents. So the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who say was born blind? How does he now see? And his parents answered, well, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but how now he sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself. I mean, think about it. You would have expected the parents to defend their son. All right? But they outright rejected him. And we see the reason why. In the next verse where it says, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. So therefore, the parents said, he is of age, ask him. Again, you would have expected any parent to defend their child. Their son, who was born blind, who finally gets to see the parents for the first time, gets to see his parents reject him. Imagine that. First time seeing his parents, and the first thing he sees is rejection. Man, I'm a parent. I'm also a son. I can feel that. The parents saw their reputation, their seats in the synagogue compromised. The community, they didn't want to get cast out. And so out of fear, they were paralyzed because they were afraid of being excommunicated. They were afraid to be rejected. We need to learn to see beyond that. That's the fourth group, the parents. Moving on, all right. Verse 24, so for the second time, the Pharisees called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man, this Jesus, is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And he said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to be a disciple of him? A sense of humor. And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. Think about the trajectory of this man's promotion. From a man who just saw Jesus as a man, and then after that sees him as a prophet, now a disciple of Christ. And we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. This was a unique miracle. Jesus has healed blind people, but not anyone who was born blind. This is a unique miracle. If this man were not from God, he could not do anything. They answered him, "You were born in the utter sin and would teach us?" And they cast him out. Man, the Pharisees couldn't take it. Early in the morning, this man was a blind man begging. Later that day, he became an apologist, defending Jesus. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Three things I want to leave with you guys just based on this last few verses. And the first verse one is, the Lord is near. Say, the Lord is near. The Lord seeks. And the Lord saves. You know, the Lord is near. Last week, okay, you know what? Let's just do this. I want everybody to close your eyes, all right? No cheating. Close your eyes. All right? Close your eyes. And I want you guys to answer me. It's a yes or no question, all right? So remember, I asked you guys to close your eyes, not to close your ears. Is it dark? Hello? Is it dark? Okay. Can you guys see me? Again, can you guys see me? Can I see you? All right, open your eyes. Last week, I was preaching on walking on water. If you guys can recall the story, the disciples were in a boat in the midst of the storm. They couldn't see Jesus. If you read the same account in Matthew and Mark, they give you guys a much more detail about what took place during the storm. It is said in one of those books that while the disciples were in the storm, they couldn't see Jesus. Where was Jesus? Jesus was on the mountaintop praying. But was at the mountaintop still able to see the disciples? What am I trying to communicate over here? That though you cannot see him, it doesn't mean he's not looking after you. It doesn't mean he's not looking at you. Follow this verse. Jesus heard that they cast him out. Jesus was just somewhere around the corner, listening. He wasn't there physically, but he's probably there enough, close enough to actually know what's going on. And just because we don't see him in our lives does not mean he's not paying attention. The Lord is closer than you think. The Lord is near. Number two, the Lord seeks. Okay, I'm just stealing my points from last week's message because I thought it was pretty good. Same thing applies over here. The Lord seeks. It says, Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, Jesus didn't just sit down. He went to him. He went looking for him. Just like the disciples, when they were there in the storm, from the mountaintop, Jesus saw them as he was praying, and he went to him. The Lord is near. The Lord seeks. But Neil, I still can't see him. You tell me that Jesus is near. You tell me that he's looking for me. But I can't see him. Where's Jesus? You want to know where Jesus is? He's walking on water. He's walking over your problems. He's walking over your situations, your trials, your persecution. Where are you? You're drowning in the water. That's why you can't see him. He's above the water. He's above your problems. He's above your situation. And you're down there in the depths. That's why you can't see him. But the Lord seeks. He's looking for you. Just as Adam and Eve sinned, he ran away. The Lord was looking for them. That's just who our God is. The Lord is near, the Lord seeks. And lastly, the Lord saves. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And the answer, who is he? And that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped. You have seen him. My question to you guys this morning is, can you still see him? Like I said, this story is more than just the healing of the man who was born blind. Based on the scripture that we just read, he got a double miracle that day. Not only was he healed physically, but he was healed spiritually. I'm going to assume that everyone in this room does not have a problem on physical blindness. But most of us in this room have an issue with spiritual sight. Some of us in this room aren't even aware that we are in utter darkness. Some of us think that we are in the light, not realizing that in reality, we're so contented, we're so comfortable in the dark. I pray and I hope that we'll be like this former blind man, that when the Lord touched him, he did not waver. And why he did not waver? It's because he simply experienced. It happened to him. He tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Do not tell me that you guys have not tasted and seen the goodness of God in your life. And it's because of what he experienced, he stood firm on what his belief is, that no matter what the neighbors thought of him, no matter how the parents rejected him, despite of the Pharisees trying to push their agenda on him, he stood firm. That when he came and Jesus found him and he saw him face to face, he believed and he worshiped.